All right, who's excited to be here today? I'm like an addict. I don't know about you, but why do you keep coming to the meetings? I don't know. I think I'm addicted to the presence of the Spirit of God. You know, years and years ago, I mean, way back when I was a kid. No, I was probably, I don't know how old I was. I had just gotten out of Rhema, and I realized that this presence of God that I was engaging in, okay, if you can say that, this presence of God that I was experiencing on a daily basis was something that was not only an addiction for me, but it would become an addiction for other people. And I had a knowledge that I knew that if there was a way for me to get the presence of God to come into a place and stay, and then just get regular people to come in and experience that, experience Him, they would be changed. They would become addicted to it. I remember thinking about just teenagers and stuff, just coming in and coming because they're addicted. They needed their fix. I mean, I use terms like that, but that it seems to apply, is that you can get a fix of the Holy Ghost, and I'm just not happy unless I get my fix, right? Just not on the same level, and we can talk about drug addicts and stuff, and they do all kinds of crazy things just to get their fix. They'll sell everything. Isn't that what Jesus said? Sell everything you have to buy the field. Well, what's in the field? Your fix, right? What's in that field is what you need more than anything else. And we're commanded to sell it all. Get rid of it all and just go for that one thing because it's so much more valuable. People miss that. Well, we're going to sell all my stuff just to buy one field with a little treasure in it. It's not a little treasure. That would be the point. You sell all your worthless stuff and you get this thing that is worth more than anything you could have possibly imagined. Yes, glory to God. Well, let's get into the Word today. I am excited and a little bit nervous about this message. All at the same time. Glory be to God. Because I need to hook up with the Holy Ghost before I can get the rest of it. You ever do that? You ever know God's... Well, it's like prophecy, okay? It's like prophesying. God gives you a little bit, and then He says, now go and say that. And what do you have to do? You have to believe. Otherwise, you're just going to be up there going, and thus says. Right? Thus says what? What are you talking about? So, believe with me this morning. This message is something that it's getting really close to home with me. All right? We've been preaching and talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost for quite some time. Okay, and there's certain things as a person, as a believer, that you hold very dear, hold very close and very dear, and you don't talk about it, right? Right? And then you ever do that with a scripture? You have a scripture that's really your favorite scripture, and then somebody comes up and goes, "Hey, look what I found in Isaiah." Blah, 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 and it's like that's your scripture. You can't what? Yeah, I've heard that before. You kind of make light of it, you know. So maybe they'll drop it. And leave it to you because that's your favorite scripture. Okay. So with this message today, we're really bumping up close to home. All right. I believe this is part of what this ministry is about, is to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit. The person. Okay. If you can know Him as a person, Julia, He'll come and live with you and stay in your house and freak your neighbors right out. Or make them come in or draw them in. Right. He's a person, and we need to know Him as a person, not just as a power, not just as an entity. And I felt a little bit rebuked, not greatly, but a little bit rebuked over getting too far into the gifts of the Spirit as if they were something that we can manipulate and obtain, okay? They are His gifts. They are what He does, right? It's never about us. It's about Him, okay? So let's get into this. Glory be to God. Once again, pray and believe with me because this has the potential of being profound and really affecting you and really affecting me. And that's really what I'm looking for, is to profoundly affect me. You know, I hope you get something out of it too. But remember, that's how addicts are, aren't they? They're pretty darn selfish people. And they want the presence of the Holy Ghost. And as much as I want you to know him, I want to know him more myself. And I hope some of that hunger I can convey on you today is to know him even more. You should want to know God more than anybody else, okay? You should want to know his power and presence in your life. Yes, you want me to be blessed, but you should want him more for yourself. Does that make sense? That's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? The second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. The first one is pretty selfish, actually, if you get right down into it. I want God. As much as I want you to want God, I want him that much more. And then I want you to want God. But I want him first. It's the first commandment. All right. Glory to God. Well, before, let's just pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you that I can call you Father. Thank you for bringing me into the family of God. Thank you for giving me words to speak and anointing me. Thank you for bringing these people here and causing them to be faithful and radically changing their lives. Father, I'm asking you right now to put something into them today that will change their life forever. Don't let them be the same. Shake them up. Make them profoundly affect them so that they can never be the same and so that they're just completely spent on you. Glory be to God forever. Father, I ask that you anoint me to speak. Grant me the words to speak. Open up a door of revelation and understanding that I may flow in it. And open up ears that they may hear correctly. And establish us in your kingdom and in your truth. And in your glory, Father, which is being poured out in great measure in this day and hour. Father, I believe it. I thank you. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans 15:29. Well, why aren't you starting with your regular scripture? Because I would never be able to get up this far. Literally, we've had so many messages. If I were just to kind of go all over these things again, it would take a whole hour. You know, so unless you got 3 hours, let's just start from here. And those CDs are available free to you and to your friends and to anybody that wants them. We will get them to them. Glory be to God forever. All right, Romans 15:29. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What is it when somebody says, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in something? That's faith, isn't it? Weren't we talking about speech and preaching? People having faith in the power of God, having faith in the Holy Ghost. Here's Paul declaring it. We're name it and claim it, people. He's declaring it here. I am sure. He has faith in the fact that when he comes unto them, he shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, if you can hook up with me here, okay, I want to get across to you who the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ is. He is a person, all right? This is another name of the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, or if you want to just shorten it up like a short first name, the fullness, all right? What does the Bible say? You shall be what with the Holy Ghost? You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, all right? There is a fullness in God that can come no other way than through an intimate receiving of the Holy Spirit. You can have, and I've seen them, you know, and God bless them. A lot of Christians who walk around in a little slightly religious pattern, all right, and they're not walking in fullness of anything, all right? There's a fullness, and it only comes through intimate, personal knowledge of Him in a relationship. Why? Because He's the fullness, okay? You are not the fullness. He's the fullness. You're the vessel that He fills, and we're talking about Almighty God here, right? Once again, it's not your gifts, Alan. It's when He comes on you, fullness. God, help me get this across. Fullness is not half fullness, right? Fullness can only come from Him. It goes back to some of those messages where we talked about holiness. Holiness is perfection. In every way, purity, holiness, it is everything. Okay, the fullness is Him. And when He comes on you, it's just fullness. You don't have to do anything. It's just fullness. Okay, another definition of that word would be completeness and perfection. You're talking about when you want to be complete and perfect. Well, when I got married, my wife completed me. All right? People will say that, and that's okay. All right? But we're talking about the Holy Ghost completing you, all right? Difference. Your wife may be great. She may be really good. But she's not the Holy Ghost. And when He comes in, He completes you. And He makes you everything that He is. Because it's Him. He's the fullness. All right, everybody say the fullness. The fullness. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Well, how do you get the Holy Ghost out of that? Because I know all of the other things about the Holy Ghost, which we've been building up to this place. How can you say that's the name of the Holy Ghost? I will show you in just a minute. But this is how Paul came. Remember? All of these other messages. I come. My speech and preaching is in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Open, visible manifestation of the Holy Ghost and His power. He's coming in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God forever. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Yes, that would be right at the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. You there? And being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of me. Let me just say something right here and we'll get this over with quick. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are what? Amen. No and maybe. Sometimes God says no, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says maybe, but most of the time He says wait, because I'm slightly confused and I'm really busy right now. No. No, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Right? So when He gives you a promise, you say yes, and then amen. Or He says yes to the promise, because it was His promise, and you say, so be it. That's what amen means. You just say, so be it for me. Is there healing in the word? Yes. Is it for you? Yes. What do you say? So be it. It's that simple, okay? It is finished. Glory be to God. So be it. Okay, so Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He says, saith He, you have heard of me. The promise. There may be many promises. This is the promise. Okay, this is the promise that all the Old Testament people were looking into. They wished they could see it. The angels looked into the things of salvation, wanted to see it. The things of salvation come through the promise. This is the promise. How do you know that's the promise? Let's read the next verse. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He said you should wait for the promise of the Father. And then he says you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is the promise. Do you see that? The promise. I hate to use this as illustration, but I will. If I say the pill, do you know what I'm talking about? How many pills are there in the world? Many, many, at least five, right? There's a lot of pills. You can go to the drugstore, and you can go in there, and there's pills all over the place, right? I mean, literally, rows and bottles and rows of pills. And there's some behind a counter that you can't get unless some man hands them to you, or some woman, right, with a white coat on. But you walk in there and just walk through the door and go, the pill, and they all know what you're talking about. Every one of you knows what I'm talking about, right? Okay, this is the promise. And then I'm not pleased, okay? That's as far as that needs to go. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost as being compared to the pill or a pregnancy, all right? But I was just trying to illustrate that we all know what he's talking about. Well, everybody knew what he was talking about. Somehow in our vague understanding of Christianity, we forget that what he's talking about, the promise. Well, the promise, what does that mean? The promise is the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, him, a person. He said, wait, don't go anywhere until he comes. How many people do we know doing that? They just run off. They go before he comes. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Don't go step out in the gift of the Spirit until he comes and moves on you, right? And then it's his gift. It's his fullness. Yeah. Glory be to God. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized or immersed into or filled with the Holy Ghost. It's like I said, with a cup. You take a glass and you submerge it in water. It's wet on the outside and it's really wet on the inside. It is full. It is immersed. That's what baptism means. Yay, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to our next lovely scripture here. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, sorry. Acts chapter 2. 37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? If you remember last week, I talked about the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus' mouth. I hope I was able to establish that well enough, because as Jesus spoke, the Holy Spirit was manifesting himself to people in words. He comes out and manifests himself in words. And all the gifts of the Spirit are similar in that they function through words. All right? Here we have Peter preaching. And when they heard him preaching, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So hear what's going on. He's preaching. He's telling them the gospel. And they said, what shall we do? The Holy Spirit was functioning, revealing himself to them. They didn't know what to do. And I'm guaranteeing you, this is why we need to be present in the midst of this modern day revival that is breaking forth, is because we're going to have people going, what do we do? And hopefully we will be elder enough in the things of the Spirit of God to be able to direct them the right way. Well, you need to repent and be baptized, right? Or whatever it is the Spirit of God's telling you, because you're able to pick up what he's telling you, because you know him. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I love that. I can see him pointing his finger. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift? It's the gift of a person. I'm telling you, you can't get beyond this, right? We don't have servants in this day and age. They used to call them my man. Go speak to my man. Over in England, you know, you would have a manservant, right? You would hire this person, and they would literally, I remember the movie 180 Days around the world in 180 Days. If you haven't seen the old-time English movie, I think it was a musical, I don't know. Anyway, but he had a man, his man. His man knew the time of day. His man knew way more than the person who hired him, but that was the reason. He was his helper. He was the one called alongside and employed to help this person do whatever he needed to do, to get there on time, to keep his schedule right. If he needed to know a recipe of something, well, go ask my man. Now we say, have your people talk to my people, right? And we'll get this all straightened out. Okay, who is the gift given? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is no greater gift, okay? Aside from missing hell because you were born again. Now wait, because the gift is coming to you, all right? Look, it says, for you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise. This is the promise, to have the Holy Spirit come and live with you as a friend, as a most intimate companion. Jesus went on and on about this, saying, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send another. Just like me, he's going to come, he's going to be beside you, he's going to be your helper, he's going to teach you. He is the Spirit of truth. He's the one you need to acknowledge. Please, don't ignore him. He's very sensitive. Every morning when you wake up, say, Holy Spirit, I love you, and I want you to help me today. Let's go. What do you want to do today? And he's going to say, yeah, Alan, let's go do this, right? Let's go do this. He is the promise. He is the gift. He is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And if you can get this, if I can get this over to you today, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? Repent and believe and be baptized for the remission of sins. What's the fullness of the blessing? The Holy Spirit, receiving him. Do you see that? The gospel of Christ is to repent and believe the gospel, you shall be saved. That's the gospel. What's the fullness of the blessing of the gospel? A person, the Holy Spirit. You see, he couldn't come on you in the measure he wants to come unless you receive the gospel, which is to repent and believe. Once you repent and believe, then you receive him. Jesus talked about old wineskins and new wineskins, and he said you had to become a new wineskin to put the new wine into it. Amen. That's the salvation, is becoming a new wineskin. Then the Holy Ghost is the new wine that comes into the new wineskin. That's the blessing. Okay, you're going to show up to a party, Alan, and you got a wineskin. Brand new wineskin. Beautiful. And you go and you hand it to the host. There you go. There's your brand new wineskin. He's like, well, what a blessing. Thank you. Nothing in it. What's the blessing? What's the gift when you hand it to him? It's what's in the skin. Do you understand? That's the blessing. He is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Do you understand? He's the fullness of the wineskin. He's the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He's the gift. He's the promise. He's the fullness. He's the blessing. Do you understand? And if we can grab onto this and understand that it is Him, we can walk in the fullness of the blessing. I'm telling you, it's big. It's never small because it's Him. And He's huge. Yay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Acts 2:4. This one's probably pretty obvious, but I had to go here. I'll start at 1. And when the day of Pentecost, because they did wait, thank God they obeyed Jesus. Jesus standing in front of them, telling them to wait. what does He know? He just went up in a cloud. His head's in the cloud. Why should we listen to Him? Because He's Jesus. All right? He told them to wait. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from where? The basement? From next door? The sound came from heaven. I think people miss it. The sound came through the window because it was cracked just right, so the wind was blowing and made like a bottle sound. No, the sound came from heaven. Do you think maybe they had their attention focused there? It said they were all with one accord in one place, and I'm telling you, there's only one way that we can have the Bible in unity, like Alan was talking about, is to have us all with our focus on heaven. Right? They don't even talk about that in marriage relationships. You know, yes, there's a sideways type thing, but if we're both focused on God, then when we're pointed up at the tip of that triangle and we're both going in the same direction, right? And we come together as we're focused on one thing, and that's heaven. So, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The point I want to make here is that they were all filled with something. The fullness of the blessing. Jesus said, I want you to wait until you receive the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We can walk through life and be as dry as a bone and still be a Christian. But if you want to walk through life and walk in the fullness of the blessing, it can only come in one way, Rich. It comes through that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and continual filling with Him. And the best way is to continue to speak in tongues, right? They began to speak with tongues. That means they didn't speak one tongue, shandai, and then stop. They kept going. That's an old-time tongue. Yeah, you know, you remember that old-time Pentecost? They'd all be shandai, you know, and I've heard many, many people do that. Not mocking, I think it's great. I don't think I've ever said shandai, though, in my prayer language. Anyways, glory be to God forever. All right, let's establish this even a little bit further here before I just jump off of here. Glory be to God forever. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope I can make you so hungry and aware that the Holy Spirit is the blessing of the gospel of Christ. It's the blessing. Did we see that? It's the promise. He's the promise. He's the blessing. He's the fullness. So why we look anywhere else, I have no idea. He is. And if you will do this, if you will go and you'll sit in His presence and you'll worship Him, just get quiet, shut everybody else out, and say, Holy Spirit, I worship You. Holy Spirit, I worship You. Hey, Holy Spirit, there's somebody here on earth worshiping You. I do this, okay? It may sound wacky and weird, but I know that a lot of people aren't doing it. okay? So I want to let him know that he's got somebody, some church, some person that will sit here and acknowledge him as God Almighty, and I'm worshiping him. He is God in the earth today. And if you do this, your life will be profoundly changed because he will come in. He will. He can't resist that. Let's just assume, all right? We're walking by this building and all of a sudden you hear your name, right? What are you going to do? Just ignore it? Oh, they're probably talking about me again. Are you going to kind of creep up to the wall and wonder what they're saying about you, good or bad? You hope it's good? Maybe not. I don't know. But either way, you want to hear what they're saying about you, right? Same way with the Holy Spirit. You start acknowledging him as like a magnet. Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. You praise him and you worship him and he'll come in and inhabit that. We are talking about the promise, and I'm going to get a little farther into this. The promise of the gospel is that the Holy Spirit can come on you and live in you and be in you all the time, every day. And so when you worship him, he comes in, and he'll start changing you. He'll start revealing things to you. We're changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. He'll show you things to come, right? He's the Spirit of truth. He'll show you truth. Things will make sense to you that never made sense to you before. Why? Because this is the promise. The Holy Spirit is the promise. You're not partaking of the promise until you acknowledge him and worship him and let him come in. He'll make healing in the atonement make sense to you like it never made sense before. He'll make prosperity in the covenant with Abraham make sense to you like it never made sense before. Who's doing it? It's the Holy Spirit teaching you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the promise. Yes, all the promises of God are yes and amen. But the promise will bring all of them to pass. The promise brings them all to pass. Whatever it is, wherever you're missing it, doesn't matter. You worship him, he will cause those things to make sense to you. He will bring the power to pass just worshiping him. And pretty soon you'll get addicted to that and you'll be like, I can't come over there right now. I'm going in my room. And people will wonder, what's wrong with you? My dad, okay, he'll be here next week. So don't tell him any of this. No. He began to worry about me because I would go up. I made this little prayer tent. What it was a blanket. And some chairs, and I don't know, and something else that held it up. And I would go in there, and I'd have those rifle headphones that shut out all the sound, right? Because you couldn't hear anything. So I would go in there, and I would put those on my head, and it'd be dark in my room. And this is the middle of the day, and I'm like a 17, 18-year-old kid, all right? So you can understand why my dad's thinking, I remember when you were in a band, but this is weird. All right? You all right? You okay? And he's like, you need to get a job. So I would go out and I would preach, you know, once a week because I had to pay rent, which, you know, so what? You're old enough, pay rent. I mean, this is the way it should be. So I would stay in my prayer closet all week long and, you know, pray in tongues, worship the Holy Ghost, and then I would come out and I'd go preach for an hour and I'd have my rent. And he's like, well, this is unacceptable. I need you to get a regular job, you know, because he's still seeing the problem of me being, you know. So, anyway. But anyway, so I would close myself off and I would dedicate myself to time worshiping the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen? You are going to change from glory to glory. And from that moment on, when I started doing that, I had more revelation. I had more understanding of the word. I had more visions. I'd have angels come up to me in my prayer closet. Nobody else would come in there. But angels would come to me and bring me things. I remember things like this. Just wonderful, godly moments with him. Because he's the teacher. He's the trainer. He's the one who changes us from glory to glory. I want to make you guys so just plain sticky with hunger for him. Because he wants you. And the more you do it, the more he wants you. And I'm telling you, say, Holy Ghost, I'm I'm a person on the earth worshiping you. Hey, Holy Ghost. Hey, hey. Remember, who's that one guy? Someone, one of you know this. The guy who was yelling for Jesus. Was he? He was a blind man, right? And everybody's telling him to shut up. You shut up, you're going to bug him. That's the point. Jesus, come over here. Jesus, come over here. Son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus, wasn't it? Anyway, so Holy Ghost, I'm worshiping. I am worshiping you. Holy Ghost, worship, 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 worship. You know, what is that going to do? He's going to go, huh? And he's going to, suddenly, a sound from heaven will come as of a rushing mighty wind, and he'll fill your house where you're sitting. Glory to God. Where were we? Ephesians 1. Yay, this is good. What's that? Oh, yeah. Very simple chairs like these, blanket. You'll figure it out. The more blankets, the better, but you got to leave an air hole. Otherwise, it won't be visions. It won't be visions you're having. You're just running out of air. I'm seeing things, really. I'm seeing things. No, you need some air. Ephesians 1:13. All right. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, hold on here. He's talking about they heard the word of truth, they trusted. The gospel of what? Their salvation. We've been talking about the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We've been talking about the promise of the Father, right? Which was not salvation, by the way. I hope that was clear enough. They were all saved. Jesus was raised from the dead. They're all calling him Lord. What should we do? You need to wait. That's how you get saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You confess him as Lord. You believed he was raised from the dead. And you're saved. That's salvation. Right? In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after. Look, circle those words if you don't, if you need to study this out, just to try to solidify this. You know, each one has to be persuaded in their own mind, the Bible says. Be fully persuaded of these things. Also after. Everybody say also after. This is, I love how he put these two things together because it makes so concretely that this is after salvation. Also, you don't go, well, I went to the beach, also I went to dinner, right? Two separate things, also after, okay? Also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What did I say? He is the promise of the Father. Sealed with promise, the Holy Spirit. He's the promise of the Father. Not salvation. You can't even receive the promise until you get saved. All right? He's the promise. He is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Glory be to God forever. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You look up those words, it's a legal term. It means a deposit. Okay, an earnest. Earnest money would be, let's say, somebody's promised to give you $1 million. Right? That would be heaven in this illustration. Somebody promised to give you $1 million, but say, I'm going to give you $100,000 right now to solidify that at the end of the month you will get your $1 million. Right? The earnest of that transaction would be the $100,000. It's the Holy Ghost. He says the earnest of our inheritance is the promise. The promise of the Father. It's the down payment. It is a power of the world to come. We can operate in these. Now, is that money that a person is that their money now? In the illustration of somebody promising to give you $1 million and they give you $100,000, that's your money now, right? That's something you can use now. You can use now. This relationship we have with the Holy Spirit is for now, right? It's for today. This is the earnest. We have received the earnest of our inheritance. These words are wonderful because he's telling you that the Holy Spirit is part of your inheritance. It's the earnest. It's the down payment. It's been given to you. It's of the same quality as the inheritance you're going to receive when Jesus returns, which is good stuff. And it's for today. All right. Glory be to God forever, to the praise of his glory. All right. This is where it gets really good. Oh, it gets better then. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. There's so much good stuff in John chapter 1. It just, you know, we'll still be studying this when we get the full inheritance. Hey, John, how did you get that? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right, John 1:16. Yay. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now, hang on here. We were talking about the fullness, the promise, the earnest of our inheritance. He's using this, it's the same word, the fullness have all we received. And if you will meditate on this, meaning say it over and over, don't just meditate in your mind, yes, the fullness, yes, the fullness. If you will begin to say this verse over and over again, okay, well, that sounds weird. Well, yeah, maybe so to the natural mind, but this is how you get really good stuff out of the Word of God. And of his fullness have all we received. Please listen. Jesus told him to wait, right? And then he said, you're going to receive, you will be filled, basically. They received the fullness. Okay, this is where it gets hard, so you got to listen. Try not to listen with your head, but listen with your spirit. The fullness, okay? We, and of his fullness, we have received. Now, fullness is different than half fullness. Do you understand? We're missing it because we're trying to receive less than what he has to provide. We're constantly saying, God, just give me a ministry or give me something. Right? We're missing it. We're asking amiss. Remember the Bible says, they received not because they asked amiss. You are asking amiss if you aren't receiving the fullness. Okay? Who is the fullness? The Holy Spirit is the fullness. There's a verse in Deuteronomy that talks about they received and walked in part of the curse because they didn't ask God for the abundance of all that he had. Listen, if you're not asking for the abundance of all, you're leaving room for a lesser amount to come in. If the blessing for you, Rich, is 100%, and you only ask for 80%, that means you're leaving room for 20% of something else to be there. Does that make sense? The fullness. And this is the thing. This is why I say you meditate on this. Say this. He is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We've been living below full because we haven't been receiving the fullness, who is a person. With him comes prosperity. With him comes soundness and purpose and of your call. With him comes complete healing. With him, we're trying to receive less than the fullness. He's not something else, right? If my name is the fullness, if you don't receive me as the fullness of the blessing, you're not going to be receiving me at all. This is why, one key, and I didn't share this when I was in my prayer tent. One of the things I would always say, and I probably just did this accidentally because I was a stupid kid, okay? I don't even claim to be smart now, so. I would sit there and I would empty myself, and I would say, I am nothing. You are everything, Holy Ghost. Me, I'm worshiping you. I'm nothing. You are everything. And by me doing that, he was able to come in his fullness. Any part that we try to retain, anything that we're trying to hold on to because we think it's great, we're not going to be able to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is why you'll hear people, you know, talking about the death to self. It's so that he can come in and be the fullness. So Alan disappears. Andrew disappears. We all disappear, and who do we see? The Holy Ghost. And then Jesus said, "What? I've been with you so long now, and you're asking to see the Father? Haven't you seen the Father?" It's because Jesus was removing himself and saying, let's just say what the Father says, or the Spirit of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. If we're looking for anything else, we will be living shortchanged. The fullness. And this requires on your part a death to all the things that you think you want to do. If you're going to acknowledge the fullness, there's no room for partial anything else, right? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, which means they had to be emptied of something else first, right? Or they couldn't have been filled. And this is where some of our old-time Pentecostal people were probably right to a degree, is that they would have people get up to receive the Holy Ghost. They would repent, and they would try to ask for forgiveness and cleanse themselves from all of whatever they could do so that they could be empty, and then they were filled. There's some truth to that, all right? We know now that we can just stand on the Word of God and receive the Holy Ghost by faith and speak. But there's truth to the fact that we're receiving a person who is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. All right. Circle that one. Meditate on that. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Genesis 15:1. Hopefully I'll be able to end with this. I know this may seem a little different than the where we've been going before, but this is, like I said, this is very close to my heart. I just let you in to what I was doing in that tent, which nobody else knew. Yay! Glory be to God forever. I worship you, Holy Ghost. Genesis 15 and verse 1. Glory be to God forever. I'm really trying to find this. I mean, how hard could it be? It's the first book of the Bible. Here we go. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. Okay, people miss this. Abraham was a prophet. How did Abraham know to do all this stuff? Because the Spirit of God would move on him and he'd tell him things. He was a prophet. All right? People think Father Abraham, they have all these strange ideas about what he is. He was a prophet. All right? He's called a prophet in other areas of the Bible too. So the word of the Lord came unto him, and we've established this, especially last week, where the what? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus' mouth, okay? So when the word of the Lord came to Abraham, what was coming to Abraham? The Holy Spirit was coming to Abraham. He moved on him. And just like we read a little earlier, where the people were pricked in the heart and said, what do we do? That was the reaction that Abraham was having when the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he said, in a vision, fear not, Abram, right? It was affecting Abram. Then look what he says. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Did he say, I'm going to be a shield for you and I'm going to give you great rewards? I'm going to make you rich. He did do all of those things, but what did he say? What was the promise to Abraham? The promise was himself. He said, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. Don't fear. It doesn't matter. All of this other stuff doesn't matter. In basketball, if it was you and Michael Jordan, you would win, right? Even though you can't even dribble the ball. You just dribble on your cheek. You can't, right? But you win. You show up on a ball court with a bunch of other people. Why? Because he's on your team. He's saying, I am your exceeding great reward. Wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is a person, is the Holy Ghost. He is your exceeding great reward. Nothing else matters. Yeah, but I need money. He's got money. He's got the ability to get money to you. Well, I need healing. He's got healing. He's got the ability to get healing to you. Even through our thick skulls, we haven't got it for years and years. Give him the chance by receiving him. He is the promise. You get it? He's the reward. Person. A reward is a person. He's the Holy Spirit. And when he comes to you, you've got it all, Julia. There is no more. You don't need any more. What's greater than God? I'm going to give myself to you. That's what he's saying. I am your great reward. Great reward. So never get discouraged. This is what he's saying. Don't fear. Fear not. Don't get discouraged. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You think he has the ability to get it through our thick skulls? The only way he doesn't have the ability is if we don't let him. He's the promise. He is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Whatever there is in the blessing of the gospel of Christ, he's the fullness of it. He's the completeness of it. It's another word for fullness if you look it up. The completeness of it. He completes the gospel of Christ. He brings it to pass. He finishes it. He is the promise of the Father. All right. Glory be to God, and he is our exceeding great reward. I believe I'll end with that. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us the promise of the Father. Thank you for sending your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for cleansing us in the blood, which enables the Holy Spirit to come and live with us. Holy Spirit, we worship you right now. We worship you. We say, Holy Spirit, we find here a place where you are welcomed, and we worship you, and we love you, and we acknowledge you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the promise of the Father. You are the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, and we love you and receive you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.